Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts Rob Fanoff and Mark Zielinski as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Cody Smith.
And I'm Rob Fanoff. Well, we've got a new guest on who hasn't been on the show before, and we're super excited to talk about all things Florida, Kings of War, Crucible, and I don't know. You never know where we're going to end up when we have these kind of episodes. So welcome to the show. Yeah, welcome to the show, Cody.
Thank you. Long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, excellent.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, I'm going to be at Crucible, so I need to get some more information because I've been so busy, I haven't even really looked at the rules pack. So, I need to start talking, I need to start thinking about armies and stuff.
Well, I'm the guy to talk to.
Exactly. So, before we get there, though, what have you been doing in the hobby lately?
Well, preparing for Crucible is the short answer. All my army projects pretty much got shelved, so I'm currently working on 20 to 30 trees that are on MDF circles that are cut out. Have you ever used those bases before?
I have. No, did you buy those?
They were actually donated or purchased by the runners of Crucible, Tom Keegan. So I'm helping out using some of my trees, and that's kind of it. I think tomorrow I'm making about 20 hills, hopefully, crossing my fingers.
How are you going to go about making those?
We're pretty much cutting it out of pink foam. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Huge fan.
Yeah. Using just a hot wire cutter, foam cutter thing, and just doing a single layer so it's nice and easy for rules. That's the way I like to run them. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. I do have a Night Stalker's army that's slowly coming together. But that is going to take a little bit longer now.
Absolutely. What model range are you using for the army?
Everything. The doppelgangers are all the models from Mantic. So everyone that I could get from every single range, I'm going to take everything from ogres to dwarves to elves, put them all on the same regiment size base, and have them essentially going from smallest to biggest or largest in the back, and then painting them kind of in a slimy, coming out of the ground type of amorphous thing, so it looks like they play, where they steal whatever the unit is that they hit. And then as far as the ghosts and things, I have stuff from Reaper Bones. I'm using the Spirit Host from GW, which I think almost everybody uses for Phantoms. That's pretty much it. I did use the Zombie Trolls from Mantic for the Butchers. I made a little conversion for that, which I'm pretty proud of. But that's pretty much it so far.
Well, fantastic. Well, I know you have a beautiful... Is it Dwarf Army, right, that won Siege of Augusta?
Yeah. I had the pleasure of going to Siege. It was an awesome tournament. It was my first large-scale tournament. And I happened to somehow convince everyone to vote for me for Best Painted.
Well, I know Robert is a very good painter, so if you were able to get him to give you the trophy, it must be an excellent army.
He's also a really nice guy, which is refreshing. Everybody was actually at Siege. It was a really good experience. And
well,
I'm
that's just
looking
just
forward to going next.
Yeah,
year.
That's just because I wasn't there. I'm a jerk.
Well, it was also easier to win since you weren't there.
No, actually, it's the other way around.
If I
would have been there, I'm like a trampoline, dude.
Anybody going to Crucible should call you out.
Exactly, because that's
like free win.
That's a free win, right? Absolutely. So, Cody, why don't you start us off a little bit about yourself? You know, who are you and where are you from?
Well, I'm the man, the myth, the legend. Name's Cody Smith. I was born and raised in Florida. Moved down here 4 years ago with my beautiful wife. I live west of Orlando proper. have two dogs, two horses, and a fish. I am an architect by trade, and I love hobby. Hobby games, hobby everything. Board games, the whole nine.
Yeah, I see on the notes that you're a huge board gamer. So talk to me about board games.
Sure. Huge might be an over-exaggeration a little bit, but I do love Munchkin, Ticket to Ride, pretty much anything from Days of Wonder who makes Ticket to Ride. Mm-hmm. My wife and I love to play those games. We invite friends over and play. Really like Risk when, you know, you really want to make your family hate you or your significant other hate you. And actually, we have a new game that we got called Apex. It's like a dinosaur deck-building game that my wife got for Christmas. We're still trying to learn it. It's quite complex. But one of the cool things, it came with an awesome, like, I don't know, large-scale T-Rex miniature that as soon as we opened it, my wife just looked at me and said, "You can paint it." Yes, it's going to be awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that, but I won't say I'm a huge board gamer, but obviously my co-host Mark is a freaking board game nut.
Yeah.
But I have a 7-year-old, so we play quite a bit of board games.
Nice.
Different.
What
though.
Are your favorites?
Well, I mean, right now I play a lot of games that are more geared towards kids. But I'm slowly getting her into games that are kind of like mid-level games. And so in terms of what's my favorite, I guess it depends on the day, but I mean, anything that's not Candyland is right. A good start, right?
Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders, yeah. But we play a lot of – there's a game called Castilian from Catalyst Games where you're building a castle, and you – by building courtyards, you score basically points. And it's
cool.
It's a pretty – it's kind of like a Tetris-y puzzle game, but it's competitive. It's a two-player competitive game. So
nice.
Go ahead.
No, there's a really good game called Castle Panic, which is – kind of similar. It's a cooperative game, which is cool, especially with younger kids and things like that. So you get to work with them. And it essentially is you build a cat or you have a castle in the middle. And then there's a forest that surrounds the castle and a bunch of orcs and goblins and bad things start to invade. And you have to like work together to kill them before they come in and invade. And there's all these cool little tiles. I would recommend picking it up if you have a chance.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Rampage. We play a lot of Rampage, which is kind of that dexterity game where you're building towers and eating people and
nice.
King of Tokyo is always a fact. There's just tons of games.
I've always wanted to play that one.
King of Tokyo is great. I mean, we live in a board game wonderland right now. I mean, it actually makes me feel guilty how great it is.
That's awesome.
So, Kings of War, though, you obviously play a lot of Kings of War.
I do. I guess I'll just kind of give you my background on Kings of War. My buddy Rocky and I, about a year and a half ago, both decided, you know, as kids, we bought the models, we got to paint, but we never had anybody to play with. And this was mostly Games Workshop. I did play Heroes Quest back in the day. That was probably my first time playing with miniatures in a game setting. So fast forward to a year and a half ago, pretty much when the whole world blew up for fantasy, we were going to pick up Warhammer, and then started doing some research, realized that was right around the time that the Masters had announced that they were picking up Kings of War for the next coming year. The Masters that literally just
happened. Literally last weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and that looked like that was awesome. Anyways, I come from a competitive gaming background, so I played a lot of Magic the Gathering and tournaments and whatnot. So if I were going to get into something, I'd want to be able to get into something that I could competitively play down the line. So saw this Kings of War thing. Him and I bought the two-player starter set that night, and essentially the rest is history.
So you have dwarves and he has undead.
Yeah, so I have dwarves. I have ogres. I'm working on Night Stalkers. He has undead and got from the two.
And this is Rocky Archer, right?
Correct. Who I think you've talked to quite.
Yeah, a few times. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. hey, Rocky, I know you're listening to this, man. Anyways. So he has undead. He's got forces of nature. He's got a little bit of salamanders with that, too, if he wants to branch out. And he's got a super secret army that he's working on right now that hopefully he can have done before Crucible. I don't want to spoil it in case he's trying to catch anybody off guard.
Or in case he doesn't get it done. That would be terrible.
Right.
If you told him he's going to bring this army and he just doesn't show up.
Oh, maybe I should just do it now. So, yeah. He has to bring it. Anyways, and it's actually surreal to be on the podcast because for about 3 or 4 months, we only pretty much played each other because we live in a relatively small town in my garage. And I was in the front yard listening to Counter Charge, and you introduced Hunter Masters, who's a Pathfinder for Florida, Tampa area. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is literally an hour and a half up the street. or, you know, down the road. And that next day went all the way down to Tampa and played with all those guys, got hooked, and met up at Armada Games, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Absolutely. Aaron runs a great store down there.
He does. He does. And, yeah, so now it's come full circle. Now I'm on the actual podcast that got me hooked into Kings of War, so it's great.
So it's kind of like a drug thing, right? We give you the first shot for free, and now you're hooked.
Yeah, I mean, you gave me the first couple shots for free, so I appreciate that.
Excellent, excellent. So I know you're from the Orlando area. Why don't you tell us a little? I mean, I kind of know what's going on in Tampa, but what's going on in Orlando?
Well, it's a lot of home games. We're still trying to find a store that we can host tournaments at, and I'm going to be – if you're listening to this and you have a store and you want to run some tournaments or a night, please let me know. But as long as – as far as the Orlando area, we just have a bunch of people that get together at homes right now, probably 20 people, give or take. Now, a lot of us travel to Tampa because Armada hosts a lot of tournaments there, and Critical Hit Games also has some tournaments there. And they just had an Armageddon tournament, which was pretty cool, so I hear. I think it was 20,000 points aside or something crazy like that. But yeah, that's kind of it for right now. We're trying to build the scene and get it a little more in the mainstream.
Yeah, and when you get critical mass of players, you'll be able to develop a gaming club, and so that's awesome.
And hopefully we can use Crucible as a springboard into more of that legitimate gaming scene.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of very important people going to be there.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name, but I played a gentleman at Redstone Rumble a few years ago who is from your area and was telling me about Crucible. And so that's how Crucible ever got on my radar. And now you got Kings of War there, obviously it was a perfect opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of really good, really talented players here. And I think it's only a matter of time before the scene really, really takes off.
How'd you guys find going up the Siege of Augusta? I know several of you went up there. How'd you find it?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, the drive was a little long. That's probably about the outer edge limit of the driving that I would probably do for a 2-day event. We went with four of us, and then a couple other people came up separately. It was a great experience. We went. We had no problems at all. Registration was a breeze. All the people that were there were wonderful. So many beautiful models. Oh, my gosh. It was insane. And then everybody's doing, like, the swap meet thing, which I've never been to a convention like this. And it just blew me away. And as soon as I saw that you could, like, trade for pennies on the dollar, essentially, for models, I just went nuts.
Exactly.
Bought a war mammoth and a bunch of armies and blah, 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 blah. Bunch of trees too, which I ended up using for a crucible, so it worked out.
Yeah, Drew Gaddy, who runs Siege of Augusta, is probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
He's awesome. I met him, and actually I've been talking to him recently about hopefully he can make it down to Crucible.
Yeah,
if not,
so.
We'll get him next year.
I hope so, for sure. It's really funny because the last few years, you know, Kings of War, ever since I guess second edition was released, it's slowly picking up steam in various pockets. Mm-hmm. But this year in particular, Southern Georgia and Florida has really started to accelerate the pace. I mean,
yep.
Siege of Augusta happened, and now there's Chris Beers has got another tournament down there in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, SEGA. I think it's on the weekend before Crucible, I think.
So yeah, it's amazing, 20th, though.
4th and 25th, I think, or 25th, yeah, and, 26th.
Yep, and then Brian, our good friend Brian Tucker, who's got another event set up for Southern Georgia, like in Fayetteville, Georgia. So that's awesome.
I actually played Brian Tucker in the last round of Siege.
How'd you fare?
I got the win, and I don't exactly remember how it went down, but I'm pretty sure he rolled double ones three times on one unit.
That sounds like Brian.
Yeah, and he actually, to his credit, did not just flip the table over. It really threw the whole game because I was able to hold a flank for two turns longer than I should have.
Right.
And then was able to squeak out the win in the long term.
Well, if you get Brian, if you can beat Brian on the table, you're doing something right, because he is a really, really tactical player.
Yeah, he was super tight, and he's already let me know that if we ever come to the same event again, I'm getting called out. So I said, bring it on. Let's do it.
Fantastic. Well, talking about Kings of War, You know, obviously you kind of came into it a little bit later. So do you even know it existed back in like first edition?
No, I mean, I'm kind of a baby in that regard, and probably one of the unique people that never ever played Warhammer or anything of that ilk. My first ever tabletop game was Kings of War. So it's, you know, all the rules and everything just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think the only other person I know that's not a Kings of War, or not a either a first edition Kings of War player or a Warhammer player, maybe Shannon Shoemaker was a first edition Kings of War player. You may be the only one.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but maybe.
Well, shout out. Cool. If you're a new Kings of War player to second edition and you have no tabletop experience, reach out to us.
Exactly. That'd be cool to hear.
So, you know, you touched a little bit. It sounds like you got a lot of garage gaming going on in Orlando. You got a pretty good scene in Tampa. Seems like Kings of War is growing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It very much so is. And I hope to continue to do so.
Well, now that you're a Pathfinder,
that's
your job.
Yep. Yeah, I guess. One of many hats I wear, yes.
Absolutely.
But I was lucky enough to get in the Pathfinder program, about 3 weeks ago, which was kind of perfect timing.
Absolutely. Pat's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
So obviously you're relatively new to the game, but about, would you say like last October? Is that what you said?
The very end of 2015, very beginning of 2016, yeah.
Awesome. So what do you like about the rule set?
Well, hands down, my favorite part of the rule set is the phases. That it's just move, shoot, melee, rinse and repeat, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything takes place during one of those three things. It's really hard to confuse that. All magic and shooting happen in the same phase. All fighting happens in the same phase, and all moving happens in the same phase. And I know that some people don't like this, but I like that you get to take your whole turn, and then your opponent gets to take their whole turn, and there's no confusion or anything like that. And I think that one of the coolest things, and I'm sure I've heard this on your program several times, is that it's really easy to pick up and really hard to master. But beyond that, I think that's got to be it, the phases.
Awesome. Do you have any changes to the rule set you would make if you were in charge?
No. I really want to test the new player pack, Clash of Kings, and until I do that, I really don't think I could change anything. And I know a lot of people say they change the Snake Eyes rule, but I really like the Snake Eyes rule a lot because it helped me beat Brian, obviously. But I think there should always be that chance that you can hang on, or the boxcar rule as well.
Well, yeah, I think if you didn't have that exceptional result like Fearless or whatever, you run into the case that there's no random in it at that point. So it kind of detracts. I mean, it almost,
they're just numbers on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. You're really just pulling out all the narrative, right? There's no cinematic moments at that point. I mean, Kings of War is not terribly random. I mean, you're obviously still a dice game, but the things that are going to bite you in the butt are less. And, I don't know. I love the nerve test mechanic.
Yes, especially coming from more complex game systems. I know a lot of people think that it's quite simple and already resolved, so to speak. But, you haven't lived until you've put 70 wounds on something and it just stays on the table. In fact, I rolled double Snake Eyes at Siege against a unit with regen trolls, and they ended up regening over 30 wounds over the whole match. It was it was atrocious. You got to get them off.
Absolutely.
It's like one of the worst units to get Snake Eyes on.
So what armies have you tried, and which ones are you going to try in the future?
Well, obviously Dwarves, obviously Ogres. Night Stalkers I've proxied up once. I got my butt whipped, so back to the drawing board with that one. And actually, most recently, I've been testing League of Rordia using my Dwarven models, just as placeholders. And that army is quite interesting. I have a 23-drop list and a 20-drop list, give or take, trying to get around the, what do you call it, the MSU? Is that right?
Yeah. Multiple small units.
Pretty much you just try to take over for objective games.
Absolutely.
No, you're not going to kill anything.
Did you, by chance, meet Jeff O'Neill at Siege of Augusta?
I didn't. I only know him through reputation and the fact that he played a lot of drops.
Yeah, I don't know, 28 drops. I mean, at Masters, he did the same thing. It was like,
I saw it.
It was crazy.
It was insane, and everything was painted, and there were about a billion models.
And he did a great job too. He was smashing face and taking names the whole.
Yeah,
weekend. It was awesome.
he was taking over all the super elite flying lists, and he just literally filled up half of one side of the table with drops, and then I guess I never got to watch him play, but I guess he just moved it forward and killed everything in his path.
There was one game where we actually had to play Sean. Who they're both club mates from Alabama, and just later in the tournament, it's just, you know, the immunity's off. You got to play whoever you got to play. And I just remember he castled up in the corner, and Sean laid out his normal undead tactic, and it just looked like this green tidal wave just kind of came up one side and just swept around and just wiped the table. It was quite the impressive mechanic of movement, right? I mean, because he doesn't time out. He's moving all these things. He's making all these shots. He's not timing out.
Yeah, that is the one concern. When I did play the 22 drop list or whatever for the League of Rodia, it was like a 3-hour game, and it was just a casual game, and I have no idea how you're supposed to move that many things and think about it. I mean, you have to be sharp to think about it and play that quickly.
Absolutely.
But I do like that it's a different style of army, and you can run those in Kings of War. That it's not just one way or another way or another way. There are countless ways to build armies.
Yeah, and there's a lot of internal balance within the list, right? So, like you said, there's 10 different ways to build an undead list.
That's true.
So, basing. You've got no experience from previous games where we would used to individual base, but what do you think about multi-basing?
I love it. It's all I've ever done. I have never, ever racked up individuals on 20-millimeter square bases into a regiment. And again, that's probably because I've only ever known Kings of War, but it just didn't make sense when I heard that you could do it to spend the time on one base when you could make a regiment or a horde. Actually, the first one I ever made was my horde of Ironclad, which is quite massive to start with. And then you can just fill it out, and it looks scenic, and I really think that Mantic had like an awesome accidental thing when they just allowed that to happen into their game system. So
yeah,
definitely multi
for sure. I've heard it bantered around. Maybe Jonathan Falks over in the UK was one of the first ones to do it. I mean, I never put two and two together. I mean, obviously there's a footprint, but that I didn't connect the dots and think, well, I just need a piece of MDF or a piece of resin or a piece of plastic card. But now that I know, it's amazing.
Yep, I use. I'm not even sure. I think it's like backer board. I got it for free at Lowe's. It was just lying on the ground at their cutting station, and I still haven't run out of it. I've used so much, so it's working
Fantastic.
So far.
Fantastic. In terms of the Mantic range, there's got to be a couple models that you like.
Yes. Well, I really like coming up models. The Drakon Riders. I don't know if you've seen those at all.
Fantastic.
They're super sweet, and just recently they announced with their whole Restic plan, they gave a picture of the Tree Herder, which looks awesome, Treebeard-esque. As far as existing models, I really like the Earth Elementals and the Greater Earth Elementals for the Dwarves or Forces of Nature. I know they're metal, I know they're heavy, but they're beautiful once you get them all painted up and glued down.
Absolutely. Well, while you're here, we want to talk about this two-day GT you've got in Florida coming up. It's what, April?
April 1st, April 2nd. The convention itself takes place March 31st, that Friday, all the way through the Sunday.
Fantastic. And this is called Crucible. It's been going on for quite a bit, right?
Yeah, this is the sixth year they're doing it. It's an annual gaming and miniature convention located in Orlando. Technically Kissimmee, but we're all pretty close to Orlando there. And yeah, it's, you know, essentially all types of war games happen there. They have everything, obviously Kings of War, Bolt Action, Age of Sigmar, Malifaux, Guild Ball, 40K, Worm Hordes. But on top of that, it's not just tabletop. They have a huge board game library that you can rent out. They have lots of open tables for gaming that they'll leave open the entire weekend. And it's really a community-driven experience that they want to get the word out that, hey, board games are really fun. Bring your family, bring your friends, and let's just get together and have an awesome experience in a weekend.
Sounds a lot like you were talking about with Siege of Augusta earlier.
It I think it will mirror it quite a bit, or they mirrored us. I'm not really sure who was first there.
Fantastic, though.
And as far as the organizers and founders, Tom Keegan, Craig Russell, and Tim Wright pretty much realized that there was a gap in the Florida gaming community. And they said, you know what, let's start having a con. And I think Tom was from Texas and had done some of the big conventions over there and kind of brought his experience here. And it's been growing ever since.
That's fantastic. Talk to us about ticket options.
Well, this is going to air on Sunday, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, if you act fast and you're listening to this now, you can get the supporter pass for the weekend. It's $70. That includes all 3 days. With the supporter pass, you get early access on Thursday to kind of hang out, see what people are setting up and stuff like that. And then you also get a swag bag full of all kinds of goodies. It's definitely worth it if you can afford it to hit the 70. And then also, if you act today, you can get the basic pass for $50. If you wait, it'll go up to 60. The supporter pass is actually going to go away today, so they can fill out the swag bags and order forms and all that kind of stuff. But essentially, it'll be $60 after today.
Fantastic.
And if you are in the Orlando area and you're hearing this and you want to come down for a day, they are selling day passes for $20 if you want to come with the kids or the missus, or you just want to get away for a couple hours and see some cool miniatures and games and stuff. Come on down.
Or if you just want to go check out the wares at Armada Games and buy a new Arkasite template.
Or if you want to meet that awesome guy, Robert Fanoff, I think it is. I think we're going to have our first celebrity.
Yeah, well, if I'm a celebrity, then you're in big trouble.
Well, you know, we'll take anything we can get, really, at this point.
You're desperate, is what I'm saying.
No, we're not that desperate, I mean.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of vendors, though. Why don't you touch on some of them?
Sure. So if you're coming to buy stuff, obviously, we're going to have mini duels, Leadership 6, Coliseum of Comics, which is a local gaming store, Dogs of War, Flintlock Games, Armada Games from Tampa is coming over, and Firestorm Miniatures and Painting. And that's just what is on the books right now. There might be some late additions, but those are the ones that are definitely going to be there.
That's awesome. So, obviously, this is your big event for Florida right now. You got plans for something down the road? Maybe you add a second event in Florida?
I think we probably will, hopefully later on this year. But I will get back to you on that because I think we'll be perfect. Make some announcements probably after Crucible.
Absolutely. And it's important we probably give them the website.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're looking to get any information on Crucible, it'll be crucibleorlando.com. And then from there, you can get links to the Kings of War tournament and all that information.
Fantastic. And as we said, it's April 1st and 2nd in Kissimmee, Florida. It's at the Park Inn by Radisson Resort and Conference Orlando. Now, how far? I'm assuming this is not far from Disney World, I assume?
No, it's not far at all. If you want to come and spend Monday or Tuesday or, God forbid, the whole week at Disney, you can do that. It's about 20 minutes away.
That's fantastic. It's great for the families.
Yeah, absolutely. Not great for the wallet, but great for the
family. Yeah, not great for the wallet. But give us the particulars. You know, go through it. How many points,
sure.
How many games, all the good juicy details.
You know it, man. Okay, well, yeah, since you're coming, you should know, since you haven't read the player pack. And if anybody wants to see the player pack, it's up on the Crucible website. But essentially, it's going to be 2,000 points. Nothing spectacular here. It's going to be 5 games over 2 days. We're doing 3 games on Saturday. The first game pretty much starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a lunch break after game one, and then game two and three are going to happen after lunch, and then the rest of that day, after 5:30, you can just go to the convention, go to open gaming, practice with your friends, anything like that. And then Sunday, come back. Our first game starts at 9:30. We're going to break for lunch right after that, and then come back for game five around 12:30, and then hopefully get wrapped up with awards around 3:15, and we're out of there. Out-of-town people can head home. Or if you have a drive, you can drive back to, you know, Georgia or wherever you're coming from. And we'll be wrapped up by 3:15. That's the plan, anyways.
Well, it sounds like a pretty good plan.
Yeah, and we're going to be setting up for about 30 players. We're not capped at 30, though. We have a lot more room, but that's what we're shooting for currently. As far as terrain for the tournament, we're going to be using the Epic Map Packs. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Yeah, I think
not.
Everybody's familiar.
Yeah,
it's the greatest tool on the planet.
It really is. And we're, you know, using water field, slime field, whatever type of field is going to be height 0. Buildings are all height 4. Fences are height 1. Just the usual 4 site 4, hills height 2. And then the biggest news, I guess, is that we will be the first large-scale GT, at least on the Masters, I think, unless Sega's going to do it, using the organized playbook, Clash of Kings organized play supplement, rather, I should say. And then we're also going to be using a couple bonus scenarios that are very similar to Siege of Augustus, table corners, and so forth and so on.
Well, Robert's a scenario master, so I would why not steal from the best?
Exactly. I mean, it's really a source of flattery if someone just essentially rips you off, and I am in this regard.
Absolutely.
But we are going to be copying his. He had a rallying point that they used at Siege, and we're going to be using that as well. Essentially, it just adds one more thing that you got to think about and pay attention to. And if you know you're getting mollywopped at the table, but you see that I can get 2 points if I can get to the rallying point and hold him off. It just kind of gives people that are otherwise essentially out of the game something to hang on to. And if you're playing a really tight game, it can be the deciding factor in whether or not you win or lose a scenario. And I think that's good. I think there should be more things like that on the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk about, what awards are you going to be giving out?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing kind of the same awards that I guess just about everybody does, but Best General, which is just everything on the table. So it's scenario, kill, and objectives all added up to a score. And then the tiebreaker is going to be sports for that. So that's Best General. And then Best Overall is essentially Best Hobbyist, including scenario, kill, objectives, but also taking into consideration paint and sports. And then Best Sport, Best Painted, which I can't win because I'm not entering, but hopefully you can if you enter. And then hopefully if you're okay with it, we'll be giving out the Countercharger Award.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right, sweet.
Hell,
you heard it here
dice
first.
And well, I mean, I don't know anybody that's other than Brian Tucker. I don't know anybody that aspires to be mediocre. But
no. Rocky Archer, like that was his goal at the end of Siege. He realized, hey, I'm pretty close to the middle. I really hope I get the Countercharger Award so that I think he wanted it so that he could at least get his name up in lights on your website and on your Facebook group. but unfortunately, he did too well and he finished too high. And then, of course, I think we're going to be getting something special for last place. So we still have to figure
out.
That's
always fun. In the SEC in particular, we typically pride ourselves on giving out, rather than you winning a tournament and you getting a big stack of stuff, you're winning a trophy. And then we like to give out raffle prizes and other stuff to other people. Because at the end of the day, the top five players, that's great. But you need the other 6 through 30. Those are the guys that are actually paying for the events.
Whooped.
Yeah, they're the ones that are actually there and that you need more. You actually need those guys more than you need the top players.
Well, hopefully, and it's looking this way, that we're going to have quite a bit of prize support to give out, and we will definitely be doing that and giving out stuff way more than the top, 5 or 6 things. Those are just probably actual awards that will be supplied by Armada. I'm sure you've seen the acrylics. We're going to be doing something a little special, hopefully, getting some that are a little different than the usual there. The prize support should be coming through pretty hardcore.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I know Aaron over at Mata Games, I don't even have to ask. I just telepathically send him a message, and all of a sudden a box of stuff shows up, whether it's trophies or acrylic templates or whatever.
Yeah, he actually let me know today that the books for the players pack are coming in. I think tomorrow. Well, this will be 3 days ago when everybody hears this. But he is on top of it, and every time I have a question about something, he will say, "Hey, I know where it is. I can see where it's shipping from. Yada yada yada." And then if you don't mind, I'd love to bring up some of the prize support and
absolutely
who's
please
supporting
do.
Us. So we are fortunate enough, obviously, to get supported by Manta Games, the company that seems to just love to support the game that it creates, which is awesome. And that's, Community Pat over at Mantic is doing that. Robert Dunham, or Dunham, I guess, with RGDGaming.com. He is giving us an unbelievable amount of stuff. And he's also letting us – he's getting into creating miniatures now, and he has some awesome miniatures. If you go to his website, rgdgaming.com, that we will be essentially one of the first people to give away at the tournament. So there will be a couple of those Ghoul Kings. It's like a large-scale Lich King looking guy. We're going to be giving those away. We also have several books, the new player pack, organized play supplement that we'll be giving out. At least one starter army, if not two. Lots of different regiments and troops of different various armies. Aaron Fortino at Armadas giving us trophies and prize support. Ironheart Artisans is on board. Countercharge, obviously, you guys.
Absolutely.
Supplying some dice and whatnot. And then we've had some individuals step up, too. Tom Keegan, who is one of the organizers of the entire Crucible, donated a hefty amount of Mantic Elves that we'll be able to give out.
Fantastic.
It might end up being that we can give a couple sprues to every single person that shows up. It's that many.
That's awesome.
Rocky Archer is supplying some as well as myself. I'm also supplying some from my personal collection. And then, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for now. But if you want prize support donated, please hit me up.
And that's a great segue. Yeah. How can we even get a hold of you?
Well, I'm pretty active on the – there's a Mantic Florida Facebook group. I'm also on the Kings of War Fanatics. Cody Richard Smith on Facebook. I might be the only one, which is hard to believe because us Smiths, we tend to multiply. But other than that, cody-smith@comcast.net is my email address. You can reach me there anytime. And I pretty much am on the Facebook and that. I never really jumped into the Twitter thing, but I guess I could always get into there later. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, fantastic. Well, hey, thanks for coming on and telling us all about Crucible. I'm looking forward to the event. We're trying
Absolutely.
To get some more of the guys. I know right now you're getting mostly guys from Southern Georgia and the Florida area. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get some more guys from the Nashville, you know, Western Tennessee, Alabama to come down. Because, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be an amazing time.
It will be awesome. And I really encourage anybody that's on the fence, come down. It's a great place. If for no other reason than you're trying to get away from the cold. I hear it's cold. I haven't experienced cold yet this whole year. So please come down to Florida. It's awesome.
Well, fantastic. Well, hey, we'll have to get you on. You know, obviously we'll be doing some recording live from the event. We'll get some, get you on, Rocky's got to be on, right? At some point we got to
get
Rocky
on. Yeah, it would really make his whole life.
Yeah. Well then I don't know if this is what he's aspiring to. We got to get him something else to.
Well, I mean, I just hope he can win a game. That's all.
Oh, really? Is he that terrible?
No, he's actually quite good. But
okay.
You got to razz your friends.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'd love to get Aaron on the show and some, you know, all the other guys that I'm going to meet in person for the first time that I've talked to probably for several years now. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And I really hope people can make it. And you know, over the next couple of days, I'm going to be updating. There is a Facebook event, that people can find. I'm sure just Crucible Kings of War tournament. It's out there. And I'll be updating photos of terrain and miniatures and everything else. My buddy Thomas Adams and I are going to be working on terrain tomorrow, trying to finish that up. And it's rocking and rolling, man.
Fantastic. Before we get out of here, I just want to mention, don't forget, we have the Countercharger Army and Weekend Project coming up. That is going to be on the 17th of March, so 17th, 18th, and 19th. Mantic has given us a 10% discount code for their web store. If you want to buy a starter army, it's just countercharge10. That's all capitals. Don't forget, if you can't join us on the Google Hangout, by all means, go on Twitter. Watch for the hashtag CCKOWAWS. And I highly recommend you jump on our Countercharge Facebook page. And we have a very good, robust discussion going about what armies people are going to be working on. And there's some tips on Shannon Shoemaker's giving tips out. So it's going to be... If you haven't done it before, it's an amazing time. It's essentially you stay at your house, paint away, have a computer next to you, either with video or just audio, and we'll have, you know, 20, 25 guys at any one time all over the world painting together collectively, and you'll get tips, and you'll just get to meet people, and it's a great networking thing, right? So if you're running tournaments, it's a great way to meet some new people, find out what's going on in Houston, Texas, what's going on in... You know, Secaucus, New Jersey, whatever. So
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, Orlando, Florida. So obviously we're expecting Rocky and Cody to join us for at least a little bit.
Yeah, now we have to, right?
Yeah, you have to. You're called out. So, but yeah, by all means, jump on, Countercharge 10 will get you 10% off on Annie's Army Starbox from ManticGames.com. And that, you know, they got some cool stuff, as we talked about. You know, the new Trident Realm stuff is really, really awesome.
I agree. It looks great. They posted a picture today, actually, on their Facebook group of a painted-up Worm Rider that looked sweet.
Yeah, and I guess they're going to be moving them to resin, is what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's the plan, as far as I can tell.
That's fantastic.
And I know that as they clear through other inventory on some of the heavier metal things, they'll be switching them over to resin as well.
Fantastic. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us tonight.
Absolutely, Robert. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, that's going to do us tonight. And until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.